seriously popular.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to It's All Kicking Off's weekend preview show on a great day for English football punditry. The day that Chris Sutton invented a new phrase. Not since Ian Dowie coined the word bounce back ability have my eyes opened as wide as they did when I read Mail Sport this morning. So, Chris, what exactly is a dropper downer?
A dropper downer? As someone who falls over, who throws themselves to the floor.
A diver.
That's a dropper downer. A diver. Who could, that's what we call it up near Cromer, where I live. A dropper downer. And that's happening. It's happening too much.
There's too much dropper downing. Too much dropper downing. Or too much dropping downing. Too much diving. For those of you who haven't quite worked out yet what I'm referring to, we are, of course, talking about Bukayo Saka. We are talking about Arsenal against Bayern Munich and the penalty that Saka didn't manage to get for himself in the last minute of that 2-2 draw at the Emirates the other night. Chris has talked about it across pages of the Daily Mail and on all our digital platforms this morning. Talked about it intelligently, actually. You're not a fan of diving, to put it lightly, are you, Chris? And you weren't terribly impressed with what Saka tried to pull off on Tuesday night.
I'm still trying to understand what he was actually thinking, because you've obviously seen the incident, a lot of people have seen the incident, he actually takes a really good touch, Saka manoeuvres the ball, and you think that he can just get onto it, and there was a defender or two back, but you know, with his ability, he would have gone round the goalkeeper, but he chose actually to try and win a penalty. What was he thinking of? You know, he carried his run on. He initiated the contact with Neuer. It was the correct decision. Well done to the officials, because on a weekly basis, and officials get a lot of stick, but the officials actually got this one absolutely spot on. And it's something which, I think the game really does need to address. But that moment, you think about that, Arsenal win the game 3-2, great chance of going through, and now they've got work to do because of that one decision where Saka chose to dive or simulate rather than chose to try and score. And I'm sure he would have scored. And when you actually think, I mean, he doesn't have any excuse really, because he is, every time you watch him play, he is so nimble, isn't he? You know, he's so dainty the way he can manoeuvre the ball. The ball is glued to his feet. And, he's a great change of direction. What was he doing? What was he thinking?
Arsenal are at home to Aston Villa on Sunday in the Premier League. They're top of the Premier League now, as we know, after Liverpool's failure to beat Manchester United last weekend. Sticking with the Saka subject, I actually think that what happened on Tuesday night in the long term will be a good thing for Saka. And that starts on Sunday. And the reason that I say that is because he's a young lad, he's a bright lad, and the attention that his act drew on Tuesday night, the fuss that has followed, the fact that we're here 2 days later talking about it, I think will resonate with him. I think it will resonate with him. And I think it might be the first step in stopping him doing it again in the future. For example, on Sunday, all eyes will be on him. The ref's eyes will be on him. The television's eyes will be on him. I think it'll be the first step in stopping him doing this again. So I think it's probably not the worst
thing. Just off memory, I don't think that was his first offence. Off memory, I just think that's a particularly bad one.
Okay, it's not his first offence. I had a good look at this yesterday, but it's not as if there's been a litany. There hasn't. I mean, you'll struggle to find.
He's not been like Harry Kane, is what you.
No, he's not been like Harry Kane. He's not been like Antony. He's not been like Cristiano Ronaldo in his early days. He's not been like even someone like Michael Owen or even Gary Lineker going back in the day, not been like Jurgen Klinsmann.
Lineker a diver, was he?
Well, he dived twice to win his two penalties against Cameroon in the 1990 World Cup, if you have a look. But nobody made a big deal about that, strangely. At least not in this country. Saka is like any other nimble forward. He's had his moments. They've all had their moments. Of course they had, because that temptation is always there. But I don't think he's a serial diver. However, and like I say, I think this will resonate with him. And I hope it will resonate with him. I'm going to put a little poll out onto Spotify. A very simple question. Answer yes or no on Spotify. Would you, as a football fan, accept one of your players diving if that action won your team a match? Yes or no?
Would you?
No, I wouldn't, actually. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. I actually wouldn't. I wouldn't.
On your little high horse there?
Yeah, very, very little. A low horse. A low horse. A low pony. First time back at the Emirates on Sunday for Aston Villa manager Unai Emery. As manager of Villa, he has been back before with Villarreal, but this is the first time back in the Premier League. What kind of reception would you expect Emery to get at Arsenal on Sunday?
A respectful reception. It didn't work out for him. I think it was really difficult for him in many respects. There was this, you'll know better than me, the rumours coming out of Arsenal. He couldn't handle big players, which I don't know whether that was necessarily fair. But I think with the mood at Arsenal at this moment in time, and Arteta doing so well, I think Emery will go there. Possibility of Arsenal winning the Premier League, of course, but there will be. I don't think he'll be booed, if that's what you're saying.
No.
A respectful, applause.
He's done a brilliant coaching job at Villa, hasn't he? He's done a brilliant coaching job at Villa. That's one of the things that I always think when I watch them play, is how good players have become very good players on his watch. And I, off the top of my head, I obviously think about someone like Ollie Watkins, but I also think about somebody like Leon Bailey, for example, who looks a terrific player and has clearly benefited from working with a real, whistle in the mouth, boots on the grass football coach.
Yeah, I think so. And, this isn't a dig at Steven Gerrard,
no.
But, he took over a squad which fundamentally, they were a talented bunch, but he's certainly taken them to the next level. You can see they're superbly organised. This season, they've most definitely overachieved. So, in that respect, I think Villa fans always, quite understandably so, will want to see the next step. But they're going to finish in the top five this season, which would represent an excellent season and something I think most of us would have thought wasn't possible at the start.
Absolutely. It's funny, isn't it, how as we listen to constant talk about who could replace Erik ten Hag at Manchester United, who will replace Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool, and who may...
Is ten Hag gone, has he?
Nobody will do. And who may replace Mauricio Pochettino at Chelsea?
Is he off?
That one's in the balance. Ten Hag is no longer in the balance, as far as I'm aware, or as far as I understand.
What do you know? He's definitely off then, is he? Is this an exclusive?
I think Ten Hag will go, yeah. I think Ten Hag deep down knows he's going as well. But it's interesting that Unai Emery's name is not mentioned in those discussions as potential replacements.
Not mentioned by
the media.
You.
Yeah, or fans, really.
Yes, I think that, that nobody knows what you know, Liverpool are thinking. I think the big rumour now is Amorim, isn't it? The Ruben Amorim, Sporting Lisbon coach. That's everything I'm hearing. But you're in higher circles than me. But it wouldn't surprise me. You know, look what happened to Arsenal. I don't think people can hold that against him forever. You look at the job which he's done. He's managed big clubs before. PSG won the title in France, didn't he? He's won, was it 4 Europa Leagues? Whatever it is. I mean, you are talking about a high class, high quality manager who's gone in at Villa, taken them to the next level. So, you know, you can't look at necessarily. And the PSG thing was a difficult one, and we've seen a lot of managers go in there, but because of the ambition of PSG and wanting to win the Champions League, and that being the be-all and end-all, you can't sort of hit him with that particular stick. But I think that he's, you know, in footballing circles, he would, in the higher echelons of footballing circles, I'm pretty sure that he will be deeply respected.
What I'm driving at is perception. And I think perception in the minds of the media and the minds of football fans still lingers from the time the disappointing 18 months.
Is that fair, though?
No, it's not fair. No, it's not fair. I'm just saying, it's the way, it's kind of the way it works. And that's what I'm driving at, really. The lingering bad smell of those difficult 18 months at Arsenal.
But could you can virtually look at any manager and pick something which, you know, any manager out there, really. And, you know, so De Zerbi's in the frame, okay? That's what everybody's saying. So De Zerbi's done a brilliant job at Brighton. But if you look at track records, of course, De Zerbi's, younger than Emery. But, you know, if you look at Emery, you know, Emery's won more than De Zerbi. So why, therefore, should De Zerbi get the nod over Emery, who's done a better job this season? There's a great debate to be had, isn't there?
There is. And look at the way that six bad months at Chelsea has absolutely destroyed Graham Potter's credibility in the eyes of many, many football fans and sections of the media. You know, Potter has a body of work that shows how well he can coach. You mentioned De Zerbi. De Zerbi's only managed to do what he's done at Brighton because the platform that was left for him by Graham Potter. But the fact that Potter struggled at a club which has subsequently been shown to be incredibly dysfunctional by the fact that a seasoned, experienced coach like Mauricio Pochettino can't get a tune out of the team. But the fact that Potter struggled there has torpedoed him in the eyes of many football supporters who are laughing about links with Manchester United, for example. On that, United fans aren't laughing about it. They're angry about it. And it just shows the perception in football is so important.
Hold that thought. We'll be back right after this.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
I want to move on to another big game this weekend. Manchester City are at home to Luton on Saturday. I was in Madrid on Tuesday to watch them play that thrilling 3-3 draw against Real. Wasn't City's best performance by any stretch, but they got out of it with a great result. partly because of another superb goal from Phil Foden. Foden is emerging as a strong candidate for Player of the Year, and I want to kind of get into that. Who will your vote go for this season?
Can we wait to see who wins the Premier League, or do we have to say now?
Well, I'm asking you now, so it'd be nice to have an answer.
Declan Rice.
Okay.
Is that okay with you? So you're Phil Foden then, are you?
I've got to be careful because 2 or 3 weeks ago, or a month or so ago, I was rattling on about Kyle Walker because I think Walker has
yeah,
had
it. Oh, yes. Thanks for reminding me. Yes. He's player of the decade. In your opinion.
Had I cast my vote a month ago, 6 weeks ago, it would have been for Kyle Walker. Foden has come strong. But that's why you vote at this time of the year and not in January. That's why you make the vote now. So it is time for the Football Writers Association vote. I need to send my email. And at the moment, as it stands, I think my email may have Phil Foden's name on it. I think he's grown into the season brilliantly. He's become a game changer for City, hasn't he? He's producing big moments. He produced a big moment for them when they were trailing in the Manchester derby at the Etihad 4, 5, 6 weeks ago. Superb equalising goal. It's laid the platform for a victory. Did the same in the Bernabeu on Tuesday night. City were toiling until he struck that magnificent goal. And that's the type of thing that big players do. And he's starting to do that.
I'm not going to argue with any of what you said. Classy player, which he is. But has he influenced Manchester City the same way Declan Rice has Arsenal? Just a one-word answer, yes or no?
No.
There you go, no. Then. So no. You're going Declan Rice with me, then?
No, but that doesn't mean that Declan Rice is a player of the season.
It doesn't. It's about the influence on their
rubbish.
Particular team. You've just...
Chris,
agreed.
Chris,
no, look
Chris.
At you. You've hit reverse.
Chris,
there you
Chris,
go.
Chris. Hang on. You could choose a player who's impacted profoundly on Luton if you wanted to. That doesn't mean he's the best player. Bin lorry. In the bin. Fair enough.
I would like to say, I hope you've not been influenced at all, and I hope I don't see an interview with you and Phil Foden in the next couple of weeks.
I'm saying absolutely nothing about that. Right, Rob Edwards, you said before that Rob Edwards, the Luton boss, is one of the managers of the season, if not the manager of the season. He's had a profound...
If he keeps them up.
He's had a profound...
If he keeps
influence.
Them up.
A profound influence on Luton. Much better manager than Pep Guardiola. Profound influence on Luton. If Luton go down, and we'll get to that in a minute, by the way, because that's another thing that I'm changing my tune on, but we're going to get to that shortly. If Luton go down, do you expect Rob Edwards to be picked off by a bigger club?
No.
Why not?
Because he's probably not fashionable enough.
Interesting point. Well, we've talked before, haven't we, about snobbery in English football.
Mark Robbins being the case in point, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always go back to how Everton eventually appointed Sean Dyche almost against their better instincts. They kind of did everything they could other than appoint Sean Dyche. In the end, didn't really have any other option. Appointed Sean Dyche, and look what's happened. He's done a good job there. So yeah, that snobbery exists. Interesting. I'm not sure whether it does exist around Rob. Not sure. I'm not sure. It's interesting. I'll also be interested to know whether...
Which job do you think Rob Edwards, I'm not saying he's capable of doing, but which club would you pitch him at is the question. And that's the one thing where I honestly, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to manage up, but I can't imagine.
So I'll answer your question.
I can't imagine where I'd put him. Go on then.
I'll answer your question. Obviously, it's hypothetical. You have to presume that there would be a vacancy, right? But were there to be a vacancy, that I think that if you're a Premier League club, and the way that what I would describe as middling Premier League clubs, and I mean not the really big clubs with millions of pounds, middling Premier League clubs in terms of stature and expenditure, etc., the way that they break through the ceiling, and you could mention Brighton. You could mention previously Brentford. You could mention West Ham. It's on the back of coaching and man management. And I think that Rob Edwards, or of people of that type, someone like Rob, looking what he's done at Luton, he could do a brilliant job at Fulham, for example. He could do a great job at Everton, for example. He could probably do a very good job at West Ham, for example. That's the type of club that I think would be a natural next step for someone like Rob Edwards if the world was fair and if appointments were being made on meritocracy and on the back of ability and quality rather than preconceived ideas and snobbery and indifference to English coaches.
Yep.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, move on.
Good speech.
Right, now, we're not falling out over that. We did fall out over a couple of things in Monday's show. One of them was on Ange Postecoglou's constant suggestion that the league position...
Your blind spot.
That the league position doesn't matter and that he's not thinking about the top four. My argument being, well, he has to think about top four because Champions League is the way... it opens the door to revenue and money and buying new players, etc. Anyway, James Powell on Twitter, put my glasses on, weighed in on this debate saying, Ian not understanding what Postecoglou is saying is crazy. Spurs finished fourth above Arsenal 2 years ago with Conte as manager, but look who pushed on without the Champions League. That's what Ange means by saying he couldn't care less. You have to build a team like Arsenal did over a number of years to challenge all the time. Now, if you'd have put your argument, you can stop now. If you'd have put your argument as cogently and as coherently as James Powell did, I might have listened to it. I might listen to it a little bit more closely.
Don't be stubborn.
Spurs with Newcastle.
This is the northerner in you. I mean, this was the whole point. That's what I said.
Stop being rude about.
And James North. James understood it, and a lot of people understand it. This is your stubborn side. That is, you got that wrong. You've got to understand process. For an intelligent guy, you got that one badly wrong.
I just think James has put that well. James has put that well, and he's made me think. Spurs with Newcastle on Saturday. By the way,
that's exactly what I said.
You just didn't say it as well as that.
I've had a nice morning. Don't try and poke. That is what I said. What part of that did you
You've had a bet.
Well, you
had
don't want to give me credit for anything, do you?
You've had a better morning than you had night. Chris is in Glasgow at the moment. He was at Dundee last night for the Dundee Rangers game in the SPL, which was called off for the second time. In the space of 3 weeks. Rangers are really angry about the fact that this fixture keeps being postponed. But if it keeps raining in Dundee, what are Dundee supposed to do about that? Why are Rangers so angry about that?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I am serious, yeah.
Do you want to think this through?
Why are Rangers so angry about
this? So think this through, okay?
Mm.
So who are Dundee's greatest rivals?
Dundee United, I would suggest.
Right. How far are the grounds apart?
I don't know, actually.
It's like 100 yards. Okay. How can Dundee United be playing and yet Dundee can't be playing? How come other teams in that particular area? I'm with Rangers on this.
So do the Rangers think that Dundee are doing this on purpose?
You had the guy who was talking about climate change, but 100 yards down the road, their rivals are... playing. I think it was the chairman of Dundee. I may be wrong, but some guy came out and said, it's because of climate change.
What division are Dundee in?
It's not. It's because they haven't looked at... Hey?
Are they both, what division are the other Dundee club in?
How dare you? Just you better get this bit edited out.
Answer the question.
Dundee United are top of the championship.
Exactly. So do the standards of playing surface have to be as high in the championship as in the Scottish Premier League? Answer that question. Is that part of it? Hadn't thought of that, had you?
In your journalistic career, have you ever asked such a stupid
answer
question?
The question, maybe that's something
just
to do
think
with
about
it.
What you just asked me, and I'll give you a chance to retract that question.
You're the one. You and Rangers are the ones who appear to be suggesting that Dundee are getting these games called off on purpose. When it serves,
they're not getting them. But they should have managed the ground better than what they have done.
Here's a thought. What about if Celtic and Rangers give some of the other smaller Scottish Premier League clubs some of their money? Maybe they can have better pitches.
Why are you turning this into a Scottish thing? Why don't clubs down south?
Maybe they can get better pitches then. Maybe if the Scottish Premier League wasn't such an uneven playing field, then this wouldn't happen. Think about that.
That's totally ridiculous from you. What I think might happen, or the fairest outcome, is to give both teams a point.
Can't think for a minute why you're saying that. Right, the other thing that we didn't agree on Monday's show was when we were talking about the Liverpool and Manchester United rivalry off the back of the 2-2 draw at Old Trafford on Sunday. You said you couldn't understand why Manchester United fans would be so happy about this, the fact that they possibly denied their great rivals a chance to win the Premier League. You did indeed call it petty, and I made the point that the rivalry is so deep around these parts that it would make a huge difference to United fans in terms of their demeanour and their mood going into the summer if they thought they'd played some part in Liverpool messing up the chance to win the league. Joe Riley on Twitter said, "Sorry, Chris, Ian was right about United and Liverpool fans. Many of us on both sides are very petty when it comes to rivalry, and when our team is in the mire, we love little victories like stopping the other win the title." And I think that's pretty well.
I've never been a fan of pettiness.
No, indeed. Beep, beep, beep. Liverpool, by the way, are at home to Palace on Sunday. They need to recover quickly from that disappointment against United. And Manchester United themselves are away at Bournemouth. And let's face it, anything could happen there. Now, a game towards the bottom of the table this weekend. Brentford are at home to Sheffield United. And I, rather than specifically talk about the details of that game, I just want to raise a general point here, which is that we always used to think that you needed 40 points to stay up in the Premier League. That's what we always used to say. That's what managers of clubs in the lower half of the, or who expected to be in the lower half of the league, used to start the season aiming for. But it doesn't seem to be that way at the moment. I mean, at the moment, if you look at the Premier League table, anybody from Palace in 14th down to Sheffield United in 20th may struggle to get 40 points. And obviously, some of those, three or four of those, will stay up. Do we think the standard at the bottom of the Premier League is good enough, Chris? It's a loaded question. You know my feeling on this. I really don't think it is, especially given the amount of money that swirls around the Premier League these days.
Yeah, but you know that I don't like where you will go with this because of the consequences. We will just end up turning the Premier League into an elitist league. There has to be hope, and there are examples of clubs like Brentford and like Fulham who have come up and showed that they can compete in the Premier League and compete well. And for every club like the two I've mentioned, you'll have your Norwich Cities who have really, really struggled. We've seen Sheffield United, albeit when they came up a few years ago, made a real fist of it initially. So your general point about the standard of teams near the bottom, I think it's difficult to argue against that, but I don't like where you want to head with that.
Well, what you're getting at is the fact that we have spoken before about a thought of mine that the Premier League could benefit from being a couple of teams smaller in terms of standard. I know why you object to it, because you think the smaller you make the Premier League, the closer you get to it being a closed shop, to it being a...
Well, elite, and that's it. That becomes elitist. And then the gap will become so big. It will become so big because of the financial aspect. Then where is the hope for...
No, I understand the counter-argument. Of course I do. And it makes sense. But equally, as the system stands at the moment, and we know it will change at some point, if the Premier League and EFL ever agree on anything, it will change. At the moment, the parachute payment system doesn't really help, because the clubs who go down know that they've already got a huge advantage of coming back up. People talk about relegation for the Premier League being a disaster and being a catastrophe, and it's not necessarily. It's only a catastrophe if you manage your club badly. If you manage it well, is actually a huge setback. And of course it is, but it needn't be a catastrophe. Parachute payments give you such an advantage in terms of the chances of coming back.
What's your alternative then? So you'd say no parachute payments then?
I would say that at some point a deal needs to be fixed for income that, or money from the Premier League clubs to be spread down the pyramid in a more even way. Because the problem is that if you get stuck in the Championship, as you know, Chris, you're well aware of the way it works. If you get stuck in the Championship and you don't manage to get back up early on the back of parachute payments, then it's just difficult because...
Look at Ipswich. League One.
They're giving it a great go.
Automatic.
But also look at
so
two...
So it can be done.
But look at... It can be done. Of course it can be done. Brentford have done it. But look at the... Other clubs at the top of the Championship, Leicester, Leeds, came down last season. Parachute payments, no surprise. Okay.
Do you ever dream big?
Used to, Chris, used to. And then one day I woke up and realised that I had to switch on my laptop and talk to you. Talk about reality coming crashing in. We all dream, Chris. We all dream. So listen, before we go, let's play a little game on the subject of relegation, who might go down. I've had a look at the fixtures and I've tried to work it out. I've done my little game, tried to work out what Luton will get from their games, Forest, Burnley and Sheffield United. And my tune has changed. My instinct, you asked me only a week or so ago when I was doing this podcast from Ireland on holiday, who I thought would go down. And my instinct was Luton, Burnley, Sheffield United. My instinct still says that. However, my mathematics do not say that. When I do the fixtures from last place up, I get Sheffield United 20 points, Burnley 25 points, Forest 31 points, Luton 32 points. My mathematical head has Luton staying up.
I wouldn't ever describe your head as mathematical. Many things other than that. But so I don't. We haven't got long enough to discuss this. But so who are Luton going to get like their points off?
I haven't got that written down because I did it last night. I just went through it in my head. So I can't tell you.
Yeah, but you can't just throw that away. You need to tell us why. Now I'm looking at Nottingham Forest, who have Sheffield United and Burnley still to play. They have Everton still to play. They have Wolves at home and Chelsea at home. And I'm thinking they're probably more likely to get more points than Luton, who have City away, Brentford at home, Wolves away, Everton at home, West Ham away, tricky fixture, and Fulham at home. I'm saying Forest. You've just thrown that away to try and get a bit of popularity with Luton fans.
Why would I try and get popularity when I'm admitting that I'm changing my tune from only 10 days away? That's not going to make me popular.
Yeah, but you do. You've changed your player of the year. You've changed your...
I have changed, actually.
You've changed who's going to win the Premier League.
No, I haven't.
You're like a chameleon.
No, a comedian. I haven't, a comedic chameleon. I haven't changed who I think win the Premier League. I still think that'll be Manchester City. Right, that's it. Now, before we go, I believe there has been a development down on the farm. For those of you who listened to us recently, you will know that Chris has been having a problem with mice in the master bedroom. The cats have been all over it. Chris's wife, Sam, has spent most of the last 2-3 weeks sitting on the top of the wardrobe. But you tell me, Chris, that there has been a resolution and it hasn't been in the favour of the mice.
No, there was a lot of rummaging and noise in the bedroom the other night.
And you weren't there.
But the poor little mouse, the game came to the end. A sorry conclusion. The cats got the better.
How's it taking the cat? I'd forgotten all about it. How's it taking the cat so long?
I don't know. I haven't asked them.
Those cats must move even slowly, more slowly than you do, to be honest. Anyway, there we go. the end of, and the end of the match, but there will be more. Right. Thank you everybody for being with us again. Remember that poll that I mentioned earlier, which will be out on Spotify as soon as this show is over, which mercifully will be quite soon. Would you accept one of your players diving if it won you a match? Yes or no? Go to Spotify and cast your vote. While you're at it, hit the subscribe button. Please do the same if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. It's really important. Remember to go to Mail online for all your breaking sports news. Follow Mail Sport on Twitter, on Instagram and on TikTok, where, as I keep telling you, we now have over a million followers. We'll be back on Monday. Another huge weekend of Premier League action awaits us. And Chris and I will be back on Monday to go over all of that. Thanks for being with us. See you then.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.